We're back here on Sports Talk. Welcome on in. Tomorrow this time we'll be getting ready for pregame coverage of Pelicans versus the Chicago Bulls. That'll start 6:30, then tip off in the Smoothie King Center, 7 o'clock right here on WWLAMFM.com and, of course, the Odyssey app. To talk about all things Pelicans, we welcome in one of our favorites, Chris Dotson, to the radio huddle, who covers the Pels for Clutch Points. How you been doing, Chris?
Oh, man, had a great off season, but, yeah, we're ready for opening night, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Always appreciate your time, man. And obviously, the big news today, you're hearing, obviously, Zion Williamson dealing with an illness, ends up being a game-time decision for tomorrow. Also, in DeJounte Murray, too, who's kind of been away from the team dealing with some personal stuff. Not the, you know, ideal way you'd like to start the season, but definitely, I'll say at least it's not something with injuries that we're dealing with at this point.
Right, it's not injuries, but hey, the NBA would not be back if the Pelicans didn't have some, you know, guys being game-time decisions. You are right that DeJounte is way more serious, it seems like. Zion is more like if you're a new father with a young kid, and they get sick, you're bound to get sick. A few little sniffles, game-time decision is fine. But, yeah, I think the whole team's prayers are out with DeJounte and whatever him and his family are going through.
Yeah, it's definitely unfortunate to know, you know, obviously he's dealing with some personal stuff right now, wishing all the best to him and the family. Going into this game now against the Chicago Bulls, could be shorthanded with this squad. So what if we don't have a DeJounte Murray and a Zion in the lineup? Obviously, you know, what does that do for this team going into the opener? What does that mean minutes-wise for some guys?
Yeah, you say, what does it mean? It means Willie Green's job got a lot easier when it comes to picking out that starting lineup and the rotation. It gets a lot harder because he won't have some of his options. But, I mean, the Bulls, they've got Lonzo Ball. They've got a bunch of rebuilding blocks. Zach LaVine can go off. But, I mean, even without Zion and Murray, you would think CJ could go out there and get a win. B.I. could get a win. You know, Jordan Hawkins played pretty well last year to start the season. Maybe he comes out hot. You still got to go into the home opener no matter who's missing. With a little bit of an expectation, you're going to start the season off right. And that would be the toughest part, is Willie Green having to come out after the game and saying, look, we're missing guys, give them credit. We all know how those stories unfold after the game. And I just want to see this team get off on the right foot, which, you know, it's tough to do when you got two guys missing like that.
And winning at home is something that they struggled with last year too, Chris. But I wanted to ask you about Hawkins, someone that, you know, he was a little bit underwhelming during the summer league, but he had a nice kind of bounce back, I think, in training camp. That was everything that we kept hearing from reports from Nashville and the Belmont training camp, that he looked awesome. And then he showed up during preseason. He looks ready to go. I know Coach Green was asked about him, about being a rotational piece entering his second NBA season. He's just like, yeah, he's going to be one of those dudes off the bench for us. And just kind of what the expectation is for Hawkins entering year two. I know that he also talked about his comfort level, you know, that he's a little bit more ready for NBA basketball than he was in his rookie season, which I think is pretty natural.
Right, and I think this is a great game to look at Hawkins against the Bulls. If you go back to last year, it was fourth quarter game against the Bulls, 2 points. They had Hawkins trying to bring the ball up against Kobe White. It did not work out well for anyone there in a Pelicans uniform. I think Hawkins actually wound up on his butt in the restricted area while the Bulls were celebrating an and one. And then he went to summer league, and they tried to have him run point. They basically had him trying to do what Jose Alvarado is going to do for the varsity. And I think Jordan Hawkins is going to have a great, you know, season, because he's got a lot more clarity in his role. He's not going to be handling the ball late in games. He's just going to be asked to be a movement shooter and do what got him a championship at UConn and made him a first-round draft pick. And being a point guard ain't that. But at least we've seen the team recognize it, look at his weaknesses, and say, how can we use him as a strength? And that will really help them when it comes to replacing, you know, Trey Murphy's production in the first, 3 weeks of the season.
It's not often when you look at an opposing team roster, Chris, and get a little bit excited, but definitely happy for a guy like Lonzo Ball, who's been dealing with so many injuries over the last couple years, and his status as an NBA player, I know, was, you know, definitely in question. What is he looking at going forward now? How is he in his recovery process? Is he full right now for the Bulls?
Yeah, it sounds like, just asking around the league, hearing even updates back in summer league when I was out in Vegas, that he's doing a lot better. Obviously, he's going to be playing. Just getting him on the court is a sign he's doing better. I don't think you'll see Lonzo trying to even hit a 65-game threshold this season, just because the Bulls won't be that good. And they'll want his knee for next year. But other than that, I mean, it's great to see him on the court. Injuries are like hurricanes. I won't wish them upon anybody.
Right.
Everybody can, you know, talk their nonsense when it happens and all. We see the negativity that happens. But injuries, you still got to remember, this is a man that kind of grew up in New Orleans, had his kids here, got away from his dad and became his own man in New Orleans, did a lot for the city. He went to Burlington Coat Factory and paid for everybody's school supplies.
Nice.
You can't hate a man that does that, even if he goes to another city for another contract. So seeing him on the court, he's a fun guy to watch. So it's going to be fun to watch him in the Smoothie King Center again. I hope they lose. I hope he takes a loss home to Chicago. But it's going to be fun to just see a guy who enjoys playing basketball out there enjoy playing basketball.
Before we get more into the Bulls, I want to do a deep dive with you. But Trey Murphy's four-year, $112 million contract extension with the team, Chris, we haven't talked to you about it just yet. What's your thoughts? I think, you know, if you're looking at Trey Murphy in the future and his projections, I know that he's going to miss maybe the first week or so of this upcoming season with that hamstring strain. But just based off of what you've seen over his first 3 years in the NBA and, you know, his sharp shooting capabilities, his length, his improved rebounding, as we've talked about with you as well, a core building block of this roster that they now have locked down for an under $30 million average annual value, I think it's a pretty strong deal for both sides.
Oh, yeah, that's a little bit under what I thought he would have gotten, especially with the structure, and it descends as far as the salary cap percentages. But look, he's grown for 3 years. We just talked to Willie Green the other day, and Willie Green said he was proud of telling Trey Murphy he didn't know how to play basketball. As a rookie, that's tough to hear. As a first rounder, that's tough to hear. You go to Birmingham, and he couldn't. He was hitting the side of the backboard. Me and another fellow guy y'all have on, Holly Cassell, we watched Trey hit the side of the backboard with a three-pointer. And I don't think you don't see that anymore. His confidence is there. He's come back. He's really fit in with the team. And, yeah, that contract is actually lower than I thought he'd get. Thought he'd get a little bit more, but, I mean, it's $112 million. We've seen Trey's mama come into the press conferences and give him a little bit of grief over free throws. I don't think Trey was going to be able to haggle and say he wanted an extra $3 million or 3% on top of that. So, yeah, it was pretty much an easy negotiation for the team once they come to the right parameters on what it was going to look like. With him not needing a fifth year, not wanting it, he wants to get the free agency. But the team not getting him a player option in that fourth year, which Zion, B.I., C.J., no one gets a player option in this team except Jose Alvarado, and he earned it. So I think that says a lot about the organization and how they approached his negotiations and how they've developed him over the years.
And now you have a lot of core pieces locked down for the foreseeable future. I know Coach Green has talked about, you know, the security that exists in that as well. But going back to the Bulls and kind of building off that rookie scale extension, the Bulls did not give new point guard Josh Giddey that kind of similar contract extension before the deadline the other day. So he's going to be playing, looking for a new contract as well. If you look at the Bulls' depth chart, I mean, their guard play looks really strong with Coby White, who was obviously a player for, you know, most improved, or a someone that was positioned to win most improved player this past year, but also Josh Giddey, who they traded for, Zach LaVine. Their guard play is strong, but their bigs, it's, I don't want to say it's like kind of looking in the mirrors that, you know, because they still have Nikola Vucevic, who's a serviceable center. Patrick Williams has been sort of a bust, in my opinion. But what do you kind of see with the Chicago Bulls squad when with the Pelicans matching up with them tomorrow night in the Smoothie King Center?
Yeah, I mean, simply and straightforward for the audience, I see a win for the Pelicans because, again, it's looking in the mirror for their big man's rotation. And Patrick Williams, sorry, I was there when Najee Marshall's first year in the summer league. And he was cussing Patrick Williams. Guys, I don't know if y'all heard it. I've talked about that for years. And I have not seen Patrick Williams shake that off since. You're right. He's a bust in every sense of the word. He's not really panned out for Chicago. And I think even a guy like Trey Jameson, Carlo, if this game gets a little bit out of hand, or Willie Green is shorthanded and needs to mix things up, that the front court, you got to be able to attack Chicago some way, somehow. And I think the Pelicans will get it done. But it will be interesting to watch them go against the Vuceviches and the Patrick Williams and, you know, the Giddeys, the guys who are really going to go out there and try and show they need a contract. Because, again, the Pelicans are locked up. There's nobody really playing on a contract here. Everybody in Chicago is playing for either the next contract or their next home, wherever they're going to be traded at the deadline.
Chris, after this home game opener against the Bulls, the Pels are on the road for their next four, and a little bit odd, too. At Golden State, but first two at Portland on Friday and then on Sunday. I know that the Blazers were the worst team in the West last season. What can we expect from this Blazers squad going into this year?
Look, I think they're going to look a little bit different because they're going to give Scoop more of the responsibilities just to see if he's going to be a bust at the number two pick. They got Sharp, Simons, Ayton. they've got the pieces there to play competitive basketball. I don't think they'll play winning basketball. But if the Pelicans go up there any kind of way with some jet lag or thinking, oh, we're going to be able to take this one, especially if Murray and Zion's healthy, Portland can sneak up and steal one from you. And then so could Golden State, and now you're looking at 3-2, 2-3. But it is nice to get Portland early before they really gel. And the same thing goes for the Warriors. We played the Warriors in the front of the season in the Smoothie King Center the last 4 years, and Curry went off. I think it's nice to get them when, yeah, they might be fully healthy, but you don't know what they're going to be. So that's going to be difficult for Willie Green. You're going to know what the Portland Trail Blazers are, but the Warriors are going to throw something at you that we've never seen before. And that's going to make it interesting. And it's good, in my opinion, that they get them back-to-back nights, two nights in a row. Because you can make those adjustments on the fly, like a playoff series, instead of waiting another month and then seeing Steph Curry again and then dealing with another three-point barrage. And it just feels like, oh, my God, we'll never get over this Warriors hump. And New Orleans needs to get over some humps this year so they can win a playoff series.
I feel like you kind of look at the opening stretch and you feel pretty decent about it. It's specifically opening with the Bulls. And I know Coach Green has kind of talked them up a little bit, that they're well coached. That, and you've talked about their, I guess, motivation to play for contracts. If there's one player on this team that kind of scares you potentially, it's Zach LaVine. I think you would maybe agree with me there because he's a talented wing, a potential shooting guard, small forward, kind of tweener there. Someone that can easily average 20 points per game and explode for 30-plus on any given night. I mean, the Pelicans' game plan, it seems just kind of straightforward. Just let Herb go after him. You know what I mean? So what do you kind of expect there with Zach LaVine versus the Pelicans' defense?
I mean, you said it. The Bulls can pull off a win because they've got one of the only guys, especially if we're missing Zion, that can go off for 40 points a night and make it look effortless. There's not too many people on the planet. So if Zavine's getting his buckets, if B.I.'s looking like he's not yet comfortable because this starting lineup obviously will never have played together before opening night. If LaVine gets hot early and Herb is playing, maybe they try him at that five and they're playing the small ball and it's just not working out to start. If LaVine gets hot and puts up 25 in the first half, which we've seen him do before against the Pelicans, this could get ugly quickly in the Smoothie King Center because I think New Orleans is ready to see a team come out and show a little fight. We haven't seen that over in the Superdome for about 5 weeks. So the Smoothie King Center is the next spot. We've got a little bit of hope as a city. So, yeah, hopefully Zach LaVine doesn't come in there and pop that bubble early with a 40 or 50-point game.
And then, Chris, you know, before we let you run, looking at Portland one last time, you know, ahead of that road trip, there's no one really like a LaVine on that Portland Trailblazers squad. I remember the game, you know, Denny Avia just went absolutely ridiculous with the Washington Wizards against the Pelicans last year. But you're not really anticipating that, you know, especially that he's done it already once before, do you? Scoot Henderson, as you mentioned, entering his second year, former number two overall pick, a top guy leading the offense. DeAndre Ayton, you know, could have present some kind of matchup issues, at least offensively. But are there any kind of players on the Trailblazers squad that you would be kind of concerned with before those back-to-back games?
I mean, you mentioned Ayton, but look at their rookie big. Wasn't he just putting up 20 and 10 on the preseason?
Donovan Clingan was very impressive in the preseason.
Yeah, Clingan was very impressive. So when you go from, you talk about Chicago's front court being small and kind of looking like the Pelicans, if you go up to Portland and they decide to play like some Twin Towers basketball with Simon Sharp, Ayton, and cling in and just rotate those three or four is always on the court. The Pelicans might get bullied off of that Portland court because, yeah, Klingon and Ayton, that I'm watching Klingon. I really like that big man. I liked him for the Pelicans last year. I think we talked about it. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of run he gets because if he looks good, Ayton's on the market. And if Ayton's on the market and the Pelicans need a center, I think we can all add those two and two together there.
Chris, definitely appreciate the time. Anxious to see what the Smoothie King Center is going to be like tomorrow night. Hopefully it is a buzzin' for tip-off, 7 o'clock against those Chicago Bulls. Appreciate your time always.
Thank you, guys. Y'all stay safe.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Dotson covers the Pelicans for Clutch Points. You can check out all his work there. Also follow him on social media on Twitter at doingitdotson.